One of the things that we're going to be bringing to you as we explore this topic, do you know the truth about yourself, who you really are? Or are you just living by a nickname? Are you what someone else says about you? Or are you what God has created you to be? And one thing for sure, you don't want to live a lie. So the truth of the matter, what is the truth of the matter? Truth is a powerful, and yet many either shun it or don't desire to possess it. The tragedy is that the only other alternative to truth is a lie. Deception is happening everywhere in our world. People are deceiving and they are being deceived. Jesus gives us a wonderful promise here. He said, you shall, definite statement, you shall know the truth. And then the outcome of knowing that truth is that it sets you free. We are here today to discover that God has given us something very rich in the Spirit. He's given us the leadership and the guidance, and one of the verses that we'll be coming familiar with is that the Spirit of truth comes from God. He's given us that Spirit of truth. But now I have some concerns. I have some things that I want us to consider today. We have assumed, and the first concern that I have, that we assume the abundance of data is the equivalent to truth. In other words, if I could get all the facts, if I could get all the information, then I'll be able to find the truth. It's like finding a needle in a haystack. When God told Adam and Eve that they should not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, what he was really doing is keeping them free. Because if you eat from the tree of knowledge, or if you try to gather all the facts, how are you going to know which one is the right one and which one is the wrong one? You come up with a lot of options and a lot of speculations, but will it cause you to really arrive at the truth? A lot of people can quote a lot of facts. They can give you a lot of data, but can they give you truth? That's my concern. While there are lots of information, how do you know if it's the right information? And we have to all admit that behind much of the information that's given out these days, it has a political motive. In Jesus' words, there was no political reference to it. He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Look at somebody and ask them, do you know the truth? This brings us to our second concern, and that is the need for truth. It's not just a need for information. We live in an age where everyone wants to do it themselves, the DIY crave. If you got something that you need to find out, you Google it, right? Or either you go to YouTube. Now, the problem I find with Google and YouTube, they might give you what's right. It might work in some cases. I had a situation, I was trying to take something apart, and I thought I had the right model because I was on YouTube, and I was trying to look it up, and come to find out it was the wrong model, and I end up doing the wrong thing. What you're going to find in a lot of cases where there are people that have put things out on YouTube, it is non-validated. It's not a guarantee that it's going to work in your case. And then the second thing is, just because they did it doesn't automatically mean that you can do it. A lot of people think, oh, if I just had the information, I'd be all powerful. No, you wouldn't. You'd be all confused just like everybody else. People are thinking a lot of times that, you know, if I could get that information, I'll hit the jackpot. And what you really have is a crackpot online trying to tell you something that you need to do. And it's usually people who are living twisted lives dangerous minds with ill intentions. The goal is to promote themselves. And sadly, many of us have fallen victim to scams just because we took information for what it was. Check it out. Jesus said, you will know the truth. I believe him today. How many of you trust Jesus and you found out that he's truth? He's a blessing, amen? He leads us and guides us. He's our good shepherd. He's our Lord and our Savior. But yet there's a third issue I want to talk about today. And that is, how do you interpret it? How do you interpret information? One of the things that we had when I was in the workforce is that we were trying to find out what the data means, not just what it says. The statistics say this, but what does that mean in context? And a lot of times people will think, well, it's open to interpretation. What we're going to find out today is that the truth is not open to your interpretation. It is open for operation if you want to do it. But it's not up to you to say, well, I think what Jesus meant. No. What Jesus said was what he meant. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The fact is that researchers, in many cases, are exploring lies. They go in thinking a certain concept, and what they try to do is to manipulate the data to say what they want. How many of y'all seen that happen? You can twist things around. As a matter of fact, you can go into the Bible and twist certain verses and come up with your own religion. The manipulation of data happens all the time because people want to prove a certain point. And the fact is, there's certain data and information that once you hear it, you say, well, I already knew that. Time magazine published a list of 30 ridiculous research projects. I want to give you four of them. One project, and it was published in the Journal of Applied Psychology, it found out that older workers bring valuable knowledge to the job. Say, what? Here's another one. According to an article in the Journal of Health Psychology, it said that being homeless is unhealthy. Well, I reckon so. What do you think about that? And then another article, senseless research, was published in the American Statistician, and the statistical analysis revealed that the Mexican drug war increased the homicide rate. Wow. I guess it would. All right, this one, I know you're going to love this one. Scientists at Northwestern University shared this bit of helpful information. Scientists discovered a difference in the sexes. What do you think about? And they paid these people to do this research. In your investigation of what is true, are you conducting senseless research or is it harmful research? You see, we have bought into that lie that was given by Satan in the beginning. You're not going to die. That's what he told Eve, and that swept the entire human race into a lie, believing that they weren't going to die if they ate from the tree. And guess what? They died. Satan has not changed his strategy. He's telling the same lie today, and people are buying it. Now, here's Jesus 2,000 years ago making the statement, but you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Oh, how's the devil lying to us today? Oh, just try this drug one time. It won't hurt you. Or just go here And we just have a good time, and then something bad and something tragic happens. People believing the lie. I used to believe a lie when I was early on in life and driving, you know, got my driver's license. I assumed that I could go as fast as the car would go. Put the pedal to the metal and just let it fly. I would do crazy stuff. Why? Because I'd bought into the lie that says, I'm not going to hurt you. You're good. And I'm just thankful to God that I'm standing here today, because by all accounts, that lie could have led me right to the graveyard. You know, I'd play duck and dodge with tractor trailers just because it was fun. And every stupid person in the car with me saying, oh man, that's cool, that's cool. That was crazy. Because we believe the lie that the devil tells us. You will not die. You shall know the truth, Jesus said. And the truth will make you free. In this statement, Jesus is really making a promise. Anyone who exposes himself to the truth, you're going to be set free. But notice also there are certain things that Jesus says in this. You can't get truth just from anywhere. So I want to give you four things today to help you in discerning the truth. We're going to open it up and as we go through it, and we'll dig deeper. But there are four things I want you to understand about the truth that God has given you. Four things that you need to take away as you look at what is the truth. Jesus, what is the truth? You know, when the judge brings you into a courtroom, and you have to, used to be they put their hand on the Bible, and still you got some that do that, some don't, because they don't believe the Bible is true. That's your prerogative, but you can't change the truth. And you know how they make you swear? Do you swear to tell the truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God? People say, I do. And guess what? They lie like a devil because they had no intention of coming to the truth. First thing that you need to remember, if you're going to understand the truth that God gives you, if you're going to know about the truth, first of all, there's truth for every matter and every situation that you'll ever get into. There's a truth that God presents to you. It's in there. Why? Because Jesus said, you shall know the truth. His is not a statement that you can only make on certain circumstances, or you can't know the truth about that, or you can know the truth about this. Jesus makes this blanket statement. Why? Because he's God. And he says, you shall know the truth. It's important, ladies and gentlemen, in this age of deception, for us to know the truth and to be able to do it. One of the things Jesus said in the end times, he said, it will be a time where people will deceive one another. You'll have people coming up to you and saying, I'm the Christ. He said, don't believe them. Why? Because there's real truth, and then there's the fake stuff that we get. You know, have you ever looked at the news sometime and you just shake your head? And you can tell that they're exposing some twisted side of what they want to say rather than tell us the truth. One of the movies, I think it was Tom Cruise starred in it, and he was happening to present a case, and the person said, well, you just need to tell the truth. He said, you can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth. And yet there's truth out there for everyone to receive. Why? Because God is truth. In him is no darkness, no lie at all. He's the solid truth that you can depend on in your lives. Are y'all still here? Second thing that you have to understand about this truth of God, if you're going to be able to live it, truth must be revealed. Not only is truth there for every matter, it has to be revealed, and it can only be revealed from one source. People say, well, I'm just smart like that. No. You just ain't ran into the right situation yet. Oh, I got the smartest kids and they're on the honor roll. That still doesn't mean they know the truth. Truth has to be revealed. You were not born with, nor did you develop a sense of truth. Truth can only come from one source, and that source is God. Now, he reveals it. As a matter of fact, he pours it out every day for people to receive it. That lie that was told in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4 is still being propagated today. People are still running into it. But I'm so glad that Jesus also said when he told us, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make us free. I'm glad that he's with us every day. How many of y'all got the Lord as your shepherd? You know, because when you've got the Lord as your shepherd guiding you and keeping you in these perilous times, you don't have to go around scratching your head, wondering, which way do I go? Your shepherd will guide you in everything and every endeavor in life. He will guide you. That's the good news. Amen? That's the good news. Third thing, not only is it a truth for every matter and the truth must be revealed, but the truth cannot be tampered with. Write that one down. Because when God tells us something, we're forever going, but Lord, and what you're trying to do, you're trying to get him to change his mind about what needs to be done when it's you that need to change your mind about what God said. Are y'all still here? Hello? Truth cannot be tampered with. Eve began to look at the tree, and the next thing you know, it started looking different. Not only did God said not eat of it, she had added to it, don't touch it. And the Lord didn't say that in his word. And we have a way of going around and adding, you know, it's kind of like the fish story, right? You really caught a fish like that, but when you tell the story, oh man, it was huge. Line. And we love to lie because it makes us look good, right? You can tell. I learned in golf, you can tell any kind of story you want to tell. You can tell, man, I had a hole in one. Did anybody say, no, I was just by myself. Truth cannot be tampered with. Going back to the words of Jesus, the truth, if it's going to set us free, it has to be his truth and nothing but his truth. And then this brings us to our last observation when we think about the truth. The last thing that we need to consider is that when you have the truth and you don't follow it, it leads to wickedness. I'm going to give you a story in the Bible. 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Two kings had united together, the king of Judah and the king of Israel. They had a split kingdom at this time. They united together, and the king of Israel asked the king of Judah, Jehoshaphat, go into battle with me. We're going to go up to Ramoth Gilead, and we're going to go into battle because they've taken some property from us, and we want to get it back. Two kings. Only problem was, one of the kings was wicked. His name was Ahab. Remember Ahab and Jezebel? So the two kings got together, according to 2 Chronicles 18, they got together and Ahab said, well, let me just get my prophets out here. Let me just get them to validate the fact that we should go into battle. So he got the 400 prophets of Baal. What y'all got to say? Oh, man, go up. You're going to succeed. Ahab, he's our man. He can't do it. No one can. And so they got together and they said, well, you know, see, there it is. But Jehoshaphat had this kind of funny feeling. Maybe we ought to check with the living God. Which leads to this question, what's a good king like him doing with a bad king like Ahab? Well, let me ask a better question. What are you doing hanging out with the folks you hang out with? Oh, they're my friends. You didn't know I was going down your street today, did you? Here they are, they're sitting up, they're drinking, they're smoking, they're doing all the kind of stuff. And here you are sitting up in there, you know, no, I'm just innocent. You don't hang around skunks a long time before you get a smell. So here was Jehoshaphat hanging around Ahab, and he had no business being there. Remember the word that Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. He already had an inclination in his mind, this is not where I need to be. Something's not right about this situation. 400 prophets of Baal had gotten together, said, yeah, go up, you'll succeed. They were giving him all of this symbolism and all of these things to validate the fact, yeah, man, go up and do it. Jehoshaphat said, well, is there a prophet of God? And they found one called Micaiah. Sent for him, said, okay, Micaiah, you come up now. Everybody else saying this. You know how it is in sometimes politics. Everybody else saying this, you need to say the same thing that they said. But Micaiah stood for the truth. He said, whatever God tells me, that's what I'm going to say. Read it. It's in your Bible. 2 Chronicles 18 goes on to say that when Micaiah came up, spoke to the king, and Ahab said, he never has anything good to say about me. Well, you change your ways. You know, if the cat got ruffles, you cat needs to turn around. That's another story, another time. What does that do with the cat? I don't know. So he bring him up and he said, I saw all of Israel scattered because they had no shepherd. And Ahab looked at Jehoshaphat. See, I told you he was only going to tell about bad. And then he went on to say, God has sent a spirit of deception. A spirit of deception, a lying spirit into all your prophets. Because he wants you to believe what they're saying. This nation has a spirit of deception that has come upon it. What do you mean, preacher? Politicians telling you that they can solve all the problems. What are they doing? They lying. People telling you, oh, what you need is more money. They're lying. And you know how it is, the commercial tells you, oh, you can get this little medication right here. It'll make you feel young. They lie. Because your age gonna tell one way or the other. The spirit of deception has come upon people. And now you got folk that are not even saved will swear out to you, I know I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't know, bro. You better check that out. I ain't judging you, but I'm looking at the fruit. And I'm saying the fruit ain't matching where you talking about. If you're saved, if you know God, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, there's going to be some evidence in your life. Every bit of truth that has been entered into our lives, it has some evidence. You can't have Jesus and the devil at the same time. It don't work that way. So they took a vote. I guess they took a vote. And one of the prophets of Baal said, God didn't speak to you. God didn't. Look at all of us and look at you. And Micaiah said, if the Lord didn't speak to me, you know, then may none of this happen. But just to let you know, you better mark it down, because God never lies. So the majority ruled that day, and they went up to battle. And what Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, he said, now, you dress yourself up in your royal robes and you get out there and go to battle, and I'll dress up like, you know, one of the warriors, and I'll just be where they won't pick me out. Let me get this straight now. Here's Jehoshaphat in the wrong place with the wrong people, kind of like you on Saturday night.
You know you ain't supposed to be there, but you there anyway. Talking about we gonna get down, get down, get down. Are y'all in the building? No, you got to swing on, sing on the choir on Sunday morning, and yet you swing it on Saturday night. Woo! Now come down the street now. Hoping don't nobody from Crossroads see me. Lord have mercy, Jesus. So here he goes out to battle. Jehoshaphat goes out to battle in his full robe and everything else, looking like a king. And the general of Syria, their enemy, had said, don't shoot arrows, don't throw spears at anybody else except the king of Israel. But the king of Israel is disguised. And the dummy believer is over here in his full robe. Look at me! Isn't that just like you sometimes? I started to say something, I'm not going to say it now. I don't think you can handle it, amen? Back in the day, Curtis Mayfield had a song, It's All Right, Have a Good Time, It's All Right. It ain't all right. It's not all right because you need to know who you are. And the truth is, you need to be who you are. Don't get stuck in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people because it only ends in destruction. Am I preaching to somebody? So the Bible tells us that as things progressed in the battle, the king, the general of Syria had a target on the back of the king of Israel, and because Jehoshaphat looked like a likely candidate for it, they began to chase after him. All the warriors are now directing their arrows at him. But something amazing happens in the Bible. Look at verse 31 of chapter 18. Here's a man following a lie. Here's Jehoshaphat on the wrong battlefield, fighting a wrong battle that God told him not to go to, and yet he's in there and he's hanging out with folk he has no business hanging out with. I'm gonna come down your street in just a minute. Many of us as Christians have made wrong decisions. The truth has been right there in front of our eyes, and we didn't follow it. But there's a glorious thing called repentance. There's a wonderful thing, a wonderful truth says, if you recognize that you are wrong, you admit that you're wrong, and you repent of it. Verse 31 tells us what he did when he saw that he was the target. The Bible said he cried out. Look at this. And the Lord helped him. Great God Almighty, that ought to preach right there. The Lord helped him. Don't tell me that there's not help for anyone who says, Lord, I believed a lie, but now I want to get it straight with you. I want to get it right with God. I want to come to you. He cried out and the Lord helped him. And then look at else what God did. And God moved them to depart from him. Why? Because he was a believer. When you are a believer, sometimes in your life you can take the wrong path, but then the Lord turns you around because you don't belong to the world, you belong to him. They didn't save you, God did. My grandma would say, he picked me up and turned me around. Place my feet on solid ground. I'm so glad that God is the quicker picker-upper. He could have left him on the battlefield. And by the way, I just want to give God thanks. He didn't leave me in my mess. But the Lord made a way out of no way. Brought me back to him. The Bible says that at the same time the Lord was saving Jehoshaphat from the outcome of his bad choice. There was a warrior out there, and he just drew his bow. You know how it is when I used to go with my daddy hunting, and I hated hunting. I didn't like hunting. Bernard, I didn't care a whole lot for hunting. So, when daddy shot, I just shot. Boom. Man, I don't want to be out here nowhere. I'm just out here because of him. I'm just walking around. He's shooting out there. Boom. You hit anything? Yeah, I think I did. It's over in the bushes somewhere. There was this warrior out there. And he just drew his bow at a venture and let it go. But God Almighty grabbed the arrow and guided it straight to a little piece of armor in Ahab's armor. And it went straight through that little opening and went straight right into his heart. He tried to prop himself up for the rest of the battle. When folks are living a lie, they're trying to prop themselves up, trying to put on an appearance. You all right? I'm all right. You ain't all right. What you need to do is turn it over to Jesus and let him work it out. He held on for as long as he could, but ladies and gentlemen, he didn't have anything to hold on to. But you and I, when we get into the battles of life, we not only have something to hold on to, we've got God himself to hold on to. That's why I wanted you to sing the song, Leaning on the Everlasting Arm, because in life you're going to lean. In life you're going to face some storms. In life you're going to have some battles. But when you know that God is with you on the battlefield, that he's the one that's going to fight. Oh, I wish I could preach to somebody today. The Bible concludes that chapter of Chronicles, Second Chronicles chapter 18, it includes with this word, said, in the evening, Ahab died, and all of Israel was scattered back to their tents. They lost their leader, and they had lost their hope. But ladies and gentlemen, our leader is not someone that's a resident of this world. Our leader is from a different country. He's from a place called Glory. And I'm here to declare to you that every battle that you get into, you're going to win because you got God on your side. Anybody got God on their side? And I make this point in closing. As you get ready to go out here today, and your coming week, there's a lot of data, a lot of information just be poured at you. You know, you got your head in the cell phone most of the time anyway. You know, just, and you're Googling this and you're looking up that. You got a lot of stuff that's going to be coming at you, and it's going to tell you, make a decision. Buy this. Continue. You got a decision to make. Is this true or is it a lie? If it's the truth, then God is in it. If it's a lie, then destruction is in it. The choice is up to you. And Jesus said, you know the truth, and the truth make you free. How about that? Is that good enough? Before we close today, we want to give someone the opportunity to accept Christ. Maybe you've been listening online and you've had us to hear us telling stories and trying to relate to you the truth of God. It is available. And all you've got to do is call on him. In here, we can come down to the altar and we can pray. But while you're there, you may not be able to have access to this altar, but you can have access to the truth of God. Go on your knees, confess Christ, and if you wish to communicate with us, write to us here at Crossroad. Go to our website, www.crossroadbc.com. And you can write to me as pastor. Send me an email, pastor@crossroadbc.com, and we'll try to help you out. If you're listening in the parking lot, and all you got to do is that steering wheel that you got in your car, bow your heads over that steering wheel and say, Lord God, I've been following. I don't know what I've been following, but today I want to follow you. If that's your prayer and if that's your request, God will hear your prayer. Isn't he amazing, God? Come on, give him a shout so that folks out there can know that he's an amazing God. Maybe I'll stand as we prepare for our closing. If the Lord has moved upon your heart today and you feel the need just to testify of his goodness and his mercy, you can respond. You can respond by saying, yes, Lord, I believe you're true. Whosoever will, let him come. If you're not a member of our church and you choose to join with us, we invite you to be a part of our fellowship. Is there one? Everybody say? Amen. Everybody know what the truth is?
Amen.
And do you know that the truth can make you free? God bless you. Brother Joe's going to come as the choir sings.